So, in order to better understand today's shiur, let's review one of the basic patterns in Kabbalah that stems from a pasuk in Yechezkel that describes the malachim. When I say a pattern, Kabbalah, being that it's a framework or structure of upper worlds, and being that upper worlds shape lower worlds, so there are very large and abstract concepts in upper worlds that then filter down to many areas of lower worlds, psychology, experience. So when you're studying Kabbalah, you're studying superstructures, larger ideas that then cascade down and express themselves in different areas of life. So one of these large super ideas of Kabbalah is called Ratzov Vashov. Ratzov Vashov is taken from a pasuk in Yechezkel, which describes the malachim as moving forward and then moving back. And that yin and yang, as we would say in our language, of moving forward and then moving back, expresses itself in many, many areas of human experience in Avodas Hashem. To move forward and then to move back. That's what we're going to talk about today, to move forward and to move back. But before that, let's just describe how the Baal Shem Tov, since the Sfasemis quotes the Baal Shem Tov, how he described the Ratzov Vashov. For the Baal Shem Tov, Ratzov Vashov is that sometimes when you accomplish, remember a lot of Hasidus is built on that space between human accomplishment and human limitations. The human talent and the infinity of Hashem that you can't reach. So when you start to accomplish things, the Baal Shem Tov says, then you are almost embarrassed at how little you are when you see the sweep of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that protects you against the arrogance and the complacency that can come with accomplishment. So if you just were a runaway train accomplishing, you'd lose sight of Hashem's sweep and infinity, and you become very arrogant and cocky. So if you pull back and say, wait a second, it almost doesn't just protect, but it's a natural instinct. When if you have a moral sensitivity, you say, oh my goodness, I'm accomplishing, but now that I've accomplished, I realize how little I can accomplish in light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you stop, you pull back. The Ava and Yira, remember, I talked to you a little bit about the Rambam's Ava. We try to understand Hashem, and the more you try to understand Hashem, the more you realize you don't understand Hashem. So that's one manifestation of a silver shove. But in other words, even without the Ava and the Yira, you accomplish, but you pull back. You have a shove, and you say, wait a second, I'm not everything I think I am. I understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond me. I know that my accomplishment, and that's what protects. So the shav protects the rutz. Rutz is to run, shav is to return. So the return protects the running. So it's a cycle. Rutz over shav, then you accomplish a little more, then you pull back. Okay? So that's an introduction for today's first part of this year. The Torah makes a big deal about having too much. Moshe puts out the people, the officers tell Moshe, Marbim ham lahavi, they're bringing too much. So Moshe puts out a word in the machna, don't bring any more. Vayikaleam mehavi. So they didn't bring any more. Why do we need all these sukkah? They brought too much. Moshe said, stop bringing so much. Now, the simple answer, the non-Kabbalistic or non-Hasidic answer, is because, you know, they wanted to show how generous they were, how enthusiastic they were. This was the tikkun of the chedegel. If you're super generous, then you show that you're reaching a level of moral integrity that hopefully can purify all the sins of the eagle. If you'd be giving it begrudgingly and just, okay, what do you need? Give me the order. I'll send in the timber. I'll send in the tolashani. I'll send in. But here they were just so enthusiastic and so excited. That's a simple read. But for the Sfasemis, it's again a ratzov v'shav, where they're bringing a lot and then they stop and they pull back. So it's one manifestation of this general super idea in Kabbalah called ratzov v'shav. What was the problem here? Remember I told you, ratzov v'shav is like a general abstract concept that expresses itself in many different areas in life. What was the danger here? The second you start becoming enthusiastic and giving and doing, it's not so much the gaiva that the Baal Shem Tov talked about, but at a certain point, maybe your kavanos will be impure. Like, why are you really bringing? Do you want honor? Is it one-upsmanship? Is it personal glory that you want to express your place in the Mishkan? So whenever you create passion, passion can sometimes go off the rails. And sometimes passion can lead you to kavanos and intents that aren't completely, completely pure, that aren't completely, completely flawless. So once all this passion is being generated, and that passion is being manifested by delivering, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu or Moshe has to tell him, stop, don't bring any more. Here's your shav moment. Withdraw, retreat, and check your kavanos. So I'll read you the Sfasemis. So the three darkenu, perashnu, they pulled back from the excess and bringing too much. They were bringing too much, and there was a danger. They pulled back. They repaired whatever dangers can come from too much passion. If the donations, not just the donations, but the enthusiasm and the passion becomes too much, they were worried. Maybe the purity of their thoughts would suffer. So Parshas Vayakel is a moment of Ratzo V'Shav. It's a moment of Ratzo V'Shav in the context of generating passion, which can lead you to intent which isn't pure. So Moshe says, stop, and by stopping, they're protecting, and even if they give more, but just that moment of stopping can protect the integrity of the next Ratzo. It's Ratzo V'Shav, so you can continue to be Ratzo, you continue to be Shav. Okay, now, another example of this, or another metaphor of this, he takes from a pasuk, very interesting pasuk in Shir HaShirim. In Shir HaShirim, interesting metaphor. In Shir HaShirim, so the man is praising the woman. Again, the man in Shir HaShirim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The woman in Shir HaShirim is Am Yisrael. And listen to this praise. It's in Perek Zayin Pasuk Beis. Mayafu pamayich, how beautiful are your feet. Pamayich is like your steps. Bane Alim, in shoes. Bas Nadiv, the daughter of Nadiv is like probably a reference to Avram, Alpi Chazal, he's in the Diveam, but the daughter of a generous person. This is a very, very packed metaphor. How beautiful are your steps and shoes, the daughter of a generous person. Why is he talking like that? So for the Sfasemis, this is exactly what's happening. That whenever you have Nadivos, an excitement and passion, Nadivos doesn't just have to mean generosity, but any passion, there's a danger of unrestrained and unstructured and unregulated, the Nadav and Aviyu danger, the lack of Shem Shemayim danger. So you need to have all that passion in a shoe. What's a shoe? A shoe is something that contains. A shoe is something that protects. A shoe is something that regulates. A min'ol comes from the same root as man'ul, to lock. So let's listen to his language. Ki nedivus haratzon, all the passion, sarach min'ol v'shmira, needs a shoe and a lock, and protection, said all this passion that you've let out of the bottle, all this passion that you've uncanned, now all of a sudden it can become dangerous, toxic, or at the very least, can adulterate your purity, and therefore needs a minol. So according to the Sfasemis, what's happening in Vayakel is one of the many, many, many expressions of Ratzo V'Shav. They're excited, they're generous, enthusiastic, they donate, Moshe says, pull back, and be careful that all this passion doesn't take you to places that are less pure. Okay? Now, a less Kabbalistic Sfasemis, but not parallel, but related one. The Nesim, they brought the Avnei Shoam. The Nesim, Hivir Gamheim. But when the Nesim are listed, they're listed Chaser, without a yud between the Sin and Aleph. You really spell Nasi, Nun, Sin, Aleph, Yud, Aleph. And then if you write Nisi'im, it should be Nun, Sin, Yud, Aleph, Mem, or Yud, Mem. Here, there's no Yud between the Sin and the Aleph. It's like Naso, V'ha Nisi'im. So what does Rashi say? Famous Rashi, because the Nisi'im, they're being degraded a little, downgraded, because they waited. They said, look, let everyone bring whatever they want to bring, and we'll fill in the blanks, and we'll deliver what others haven't delivered. And what happened was, Am Yisrael delivered all the goods and the materials, so they had nothing left. So the only thing they could deliver were these large Avnei Shoham on the shoulder pads of the Kohen Gadol that were very hard to come by, so only the Nesi'im could find them. So the Torah is framing them in a way that's maybe not embarrassing, but the Torah is critiquing the Nesi'im by taking a yud out of their name, V'ha Nesi'im. Now for the Sfasemis, this demonstrates the trait of Zrizus, which we've spoken about in the context of the Mesilas Yesharim, but two things are being demonstrated here. Number one, sometimes when you're very accomplished in life, this is not Kabbalistic, this is more psychological, experiential, developmental life. Once you reach accomplishment and achievement in life, you get very complacent and you lose your energy and you lose your diligence and you lose your zrizos. And this is almost a narrative of that, where the Nesi'im were already leaders and princes and already become established and already played their role, and they lost what we would call in English the eye of the tiger, the drive, the diligence, the hard work, the energy. They said, you know what? According to Rashi, it was just that they just let other people, almost as if it's arrogance. According to the Sfasemis, it wasn't arrogance. It was more just, you'll see in life when you're in your 20s and your teens and 20s, you're working really hard to get that good job, to impress people, to put on a good face, to find your way in life, to get that. And then you hit success in Mirat Hashem. And for a lot of people, when you hit success, you're not as driven anymore. You settle in. You just you hit pilot and you let things. So this is a lesson for life. I think, well, what was it? Michelangelo was 81 when he was, or Thomas, all these famous painters and discoverers. They were 80 years old. They were still trying to discover and still trying to invent. So the Nesi'im lost their Zrizus, and because they lost their Zrizus, they lost the opportunity to be involved in the Mishkan. On the other hand, there's a lesson here that if you're not a Nasi and you want to make up ground and you want to break the hierarchy and you want to jump above your pay grade, as it were, and you want to jump to a different status, then work hard. Namely, hard work is an equalizer. If you work hard, even though you're not a Nasi, you can have an impact. And if you don't work hard, even if you are a Nasi, you won't have the impact. So this whole story is highlighting the trait of Zrizus. Zrizus is a hierarchy buster. You can fall from grace if you don't demonstrate Zrizus. And if you demonstrate Zrizus, you can leap above your rung and reach a certain social station that you don't naturally possess. So I've told you, what makes this Sfas Emes so intriguing is this interplay. Some of the pieces are very Hasidus and very Kabbalah. And Ratzov Vashav, you have to know the background. And some of them are just like a Musar Shmooz, which you can hear from any Rebbe and any yeshiva. Of course, he writes in ways that are very poetic and very stirring, but the second piece is not really Kabbalistic. It's just more about human nature. Have a good day, everyone. Have a good day. Tomorrow, Rashi. Rashi and Vayakel. You are welcome.